God still has the same position against sin. He hates it. He does not hate the sinner. Yet, there's no way a loving God is going to send people to hell and still love them. There is a terminus to his love. It would be crazy to say, I love a person, but I'm going to do them great harm. And that's that. Of course, when God allows pain and struggle in our lives, there's a goal. He's after something, and it's good. Whereas when Satan comes against us, it is to hurt us, only to hurt us.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Don't forget to stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. And now here's Pastor Rick in the book of Psalms, chapter 115, verse 3.
Psalm 115, verses 3 through 8. Make a note to yourself, but our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases, a fundamental attribute about God. He could not be God if that were not so. If he weren't that way, he is a fake God. Their idols, and he's making a contrast between the idols, the man-made gods, and the God of creation. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell, although they might stink. I threw that in. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throat. No noises coming out of them. And then listen to this. Here's the punchline. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. And so we come back to Romans chapter 1, and we find the people that have made up gods for themselves are now becoming like the gods they've made. They made beasts to worship, and so they are behaving as beasts. They worship creeping things. They start behaving as though they are creeps themselves. And so this is what Paul is saying in verse 26, that the women have exchanged the natural use against nature, against how God made them, not Mother Nature, as the pagans will teach. Paganism is the worship of the earth, of created things, while disregarding the Creator. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Continuing on in verse 27, likewise also the men. Now, it is very uncomfortable to stay on this section, so we're going to try to make our points without dwelling on them. Leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust for one another. Now, again, this is this twisted lust. This is just not the, this is not only the passion to have something that the flesh craves. This is a twisted passion, and it is burning like fire within them. And it says, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Do you know, back in the 80s, when AIDS was first being announced, it was called GRIDS, gay-related immune deficiency. But of course, men suppressing the truth had to cover that up because it offended them. You know, Christian, if you're going to preach the gospel, one rule is you cannot care who gets offended at the message, though you must not be offensive willfully. You're trying to be offensive. I'm going to try to get that guy bothered. But the gospel is a fierce thing. It is a sword. And a sword means business. I mean, even if you hit the guy with the hilt, it's going to hurt. The handle, anything, it's a fierce thing. And so you cannot downsize it. You cannot reduce it. It is what it is, and don't apologize for that. Paul here saying the men also. This, of course, is what we know to be homosexuality. Or worse, you know, there's another level, and I'm not going to even mention it. It's prohibited in the book of Leviticus quite clearly. Now, if as a Christian you claim that this particular sin is excused, then you also have to excuse every other sexual sin. You have to also then say adultery is okay, and fornication is okay, as physical relationships outside of marriage. But you can't do that without violating the word, without taking away from it. And I only point this out because there are those doofuses, and that is the Greek word. That are in Christianity. They claim to be Christians. I don't know that they are. But they insist that these things aren't sins in the Bible. Now, you either have to be sinister and vile right out of hell, or a doofus. I don't know of another category to have such a position. Well, that's harsh. Now you're getting the point. I'd rather be harsh with the truth while they still have a chance than to tiptoe around these sins that are ruining the church, ruining society, ruining the world. Well, you know, from a Christian perspective, the opportunities to reach those in the world, because we are not here to change the world. This is not dominion theology, where we're trying to take the kingdom for God so he can come back. And we do not believe that. I don't believe that. What we believe at Calvary's is that we are saving those within the world who can be saved, who want to be saved. Christ will come back when he's good and ready. And he will first come back for his church, then he will come back with his church. And in both cases, it's going to be bad news for a lot of folks, and will be good news for others. And so Paul has itemized these things. I'm not going to make references and dwell on this section because it sort of speaks for itself. He will go into deeper detail with this, or not deeper, but take another twist of it when he gets to the Corinthian letter, which actually mirrors the Roman letter in many ways. Paul is saying, he's saying it more practically when he speaks to the church at Corinth. Here he's saying it more theologically, and both of them are good and necessary. Oftentimes when you find someone siding with a sin in the Bible against God, they're guilty of something, and they want to cover up their guilt by sort of being merciful to someone else's guilt. A man who is merciful to his own lust is doing himself harm. You cannot be kind to the things about you that are wrong. They are not going to cooperate. And so we move forward, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, this goes back to the suppression of the truth. This goes back to the exchanging of the truth for a lie, because the truth is a great separator. If you have friends and they don't love the Lord like you do, with the passage of time, you should lose them as friends. It will be a natural process. You won't have to do anything, but be a Christian. The two cannot walk together on these things unless they are agreed. Oh, they may still be friendly. You still may get a card from them once a year. I'm contemplating sending out cards in like March just to throw everybody off. So why I got a card? It's just the wise men. Anyway, coming back to what we're talking about, truth is a great separator. It is throughout the scripture. Jesus, he never let anyone feel comfortable with sin. He forgave sinners when sinners were ready to be forgiven. But he never kind of made everybody feel jolly about the evil that they were doing. He said to his disciples when he asked him about these people that died from a natural disaster, not a natural disaster, but a wall fell on them. He says, Jesus said to them, unless you repent, you too will perish. Well, I didn't want to hear that. I'm sure the response could have come. But reading from the Gospel of according to Luke, chapter 12, verse 49, very concise. I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. What is that fire? A fire of truth. It's a fire of who he is, what he has come to do, who we are in relation to that. And we who are born again, we love it because we know we're safe with him. We understand his motives. We understand that it is about love. And again, reading verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Well, here we have the Greek word for gave them up. In the Greek, it's actually they gave up on God, and so God gave up on them. And this point is emphasized in this passage of Scripture. This is, of course, the devil blinding everybody. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 talks about the God of this age blinding people. And then there is, of course, the parable that Jesus gave in the vineyard in Luke chapter 20, where they wanted to take the vineyard over from the owner, and they even killed the son to do that. And this is what we're watching take place in amongst men to this day in the universities, in the government, and in many homes. Genesis chapter 6, listen to this, it doesn't change. It is pertinent for today. It says in verse 11, this is in the days of Noah, the earth also was corrupt before God and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And the result of that was the spiritual wet wipe, where God wiped out man with water. And the only ones that survived was Noah and his household. Again, the wrath of God. And this is what he's going to get to as we continue on in Romans chapter 1. He says, being filled with all unrighteousness. Now, here's where we have to start slowing down a little bit. I wanted to kind of emphasize these things. Paul gives another list in Timothy, his letter to Timothy, where he talks about in the last days, men will be lovers of themselves and this and that. He goes, it's another list. We're living in the last of the last days. And this word here, being filled with all unrighteousness, filled means crammed, packed in. It's sort of like, it's a lot of evil packed in is what it is. And verse 29, with all unrighteousness, nothing helpful, nothing good. That's what that means. Sexual immorality, sheer pleasure is first. Carnal instincts being satisfied is what's important to this group. Leviticus 20, verse 23. And you shall not walk in the statutes of the nation which I am casting out before you, for they commit all these things, and therefore I abhor them. Oh man, that's pretty strong language from God Almighty. God says, I hate those folks for what they do, or the actions that they do. And they were judged. And now God still has the same position against sin. He hates it. He does not hate the sinner. Yet, there's no way a loving God is going to send people to hell and still love them. There is a terminus to his love. It would be crazy to say, I love a person, but I'm going to do them great harm. And that's that. Of course, when God allows pain and struggle in our lives, there's a goal. He's after something, and it's good. Whereas when Satan comes against us, it is to hurt us, only to hurt us. And this message, we must be clear on these things because the unbelievers must hear it. Well, we come back to this. We're considering the wrath of God, which Paul is speaking about. He's already introduced it that way. He mentions in verse 29, wickedness. That is a dark heart, no light. Devilish and, again, harmful. It goes beyond sinful. It goes into wickedness where there is a deliberateness about it, and it does not want to be corrected. You see, a Christian is sin, when they have persistent sin, when they just can't get the victory, they still want the victory. Whereas the person who has rejected God is not interested in any solution. Covetousness. Again, all of these are heightened at this point, but they all began fundamentally. We all have covetousness to some degree, and it is always wrong. It is the 10th of the 10 commandments, but it is not the least of the 10 commandments. We get into so many areas of sin because we wanted something that was not rightfully ours, and we took it anyway, or we wanted to take it. And so this insatiable, even ungrateful attention to self at the cost to others. Maliciousness. This is depravity. This is, again, hurtful towards other and unnecessary violence, unnecessary pain to someone. Verse 29, continuing, full of envy. This is greed to the point of stealing. Murder, no regard for the sanctity of life. I count, you don't. Strife, always a problem. Quarrelsome, argumentative. We know people that are like this, and they want it that way. They feel like they have a purpose in this world if they can cause trouble, if they can keep tension. They try to use it to control others or make themselves feel good. It's sort of, and there's some others in here that are like this, sort of like a person that pulls a fire alarm because they get a rush out of watching everyone else rush. They like to see the power that they have just exercised over others. And a person that causes strife, oftentimes, they enjoy it. And they understand it when they're born again, what they were doing. But until that time, they're blinded by the devil. We continue on. Evil-mindedness. Of course, it's not looking for anything good, looking to hurt and to harm. And here we come to, deceit. We miss deceit. The Greek word there means to trick with bait. It is the same Greek word that Jesus used of Nathanael, the disciple, but he used it in a positive way. He said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no bait on a hook, in whom is no guile." He's not up to something. He's not trying to be a friend so he can sell you something. He's not trying to exploit anyone. He is an honest man, is a man of integrity, and Proverbs tells us a man of integrity will be blessed. And there is a lack of people with integrity. Integrity is, again, being dishonest. And it starts in the heart, and it just works from there. And so that deceit, that's a big one. We're all susceptible to these things, Christians, in their lesser form, for sure. But they are destructive in their lesser form. You know, you get a little tickled at how they measure the snakes. Well, this one bites you, and he has enough venom to kill 5 people. This one has enough venom to kill 10 people. What do I care? If he can kill me, it's enough. And that's what it's like here. And I'm sure some biologists can lay it out for me why it's so important that they measure how many people one snake bite can kill. Anyway, out of my area of knowledge, for sure. Continuing on, verse 29. Evil-mindedness, they are whisperers. Now, the evil-mindedness, someone, you know, sees a dirty joke in everything. It's just a filthy mind. Whisperers. This is one we have to stay on for a moment. We haven't done this in a while. Now, I know the idea would be, well, can we hurry up and get to Corinthians? Can we hurry up and get to Philippians? I love that letter. Sure, it's all positive. Nobody gets stung there. But there's so much for a congregation to glean, to go through the fields and take by going through so much of the precepts of Scripture, especially when we get to the pastoral. I like those most. Because it's a very subtle way of rebuking you. No, it's not. But the pastoral letters just opens up to us what the churches were going through, what they were like, what they were supposed to be. And then, of course, the Hebrew letter, which kind of jars us out of a religious stupor and brings us back to the holiness of Christ. And, of course, we all want to get to Revelation. Well, we lose a degree of our effectiveness if we rush to Revelation and we don't slow down and receive the precepts from the letters of the things that Jesus began to say. Whispering has done so much damage to righteousness. It is a powerful sin, and so we're going, why are they whispering? It's gossiping is what it is. But why are they whispering? Because they don't want anyone to hear them except the one person that they want to tell, or the small group. Why is that? Street Botox. It's a knuckle sandwich. You get caught whispering about somebody, gossiping about somebody, they might come and enlarge your lips for you. And so they have to whisper these things. And so a little color there for you to say, well, I don't want to any Botox injection from a knuckle sandwich. They come naturally to me sometime. Anyway, back to this. Remember that the word devil means the one who slanders. That's what it means in the Greek. And he slanders through gossip. He did this with Job. He went and he started picking at Job. He's only that way because he's always trying to prosecute and bring someone down. Now, here's the interesting thing. When we talk about ignorance in Christianity, those who are ignorant get offended. I don't get that. It's like, I'm a dummy. Yep, that's me. And I'm offended that you noticed that I was a dummy. Instead of saying, ooh, that got me, I'm going to work on that. Don't shoot the messenger. He might shoot back. But no, really, it's also, so if any of these things are you, don't clam up. Who told you that? Well, a whisperer told me. Don't clam up. Receive it. And if you don't have a problem with one of these now, don't think the devil may not come later and try to make this one of your problems. And so, let's continue to consider the gossipers. They tend to tell one side of the story, Proverbs chapter 18. And the reason my motivation for kind of parking here was because I was in the Proverbs myself not too long ago, and I just was taken by how much attention was given to gossipers. It's like, Solomon's gossiping about gossipers. No, he's not. He's declaring it. Proverbs 18:17, when we talk about whisperers, they tend to tell one side of the story. The first one to plead his cause seems right, until his neighbor comes and examines him. But often by that time, the damage is done. The spray has been sprayed and everything is ruined. Proverbs 18:19, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. Even if you're right, I knew you're offended, but that never happened. Yeah, well, I heard it, It's what lawyers do when they say something they know is going to be objected and struck from the record, but they know it got into the jury's ears and is messing with their heads and messing with their feelings and causing them to reach a conclusion that they want. And so be careful. Even you who listen to gossip, you're guilty for not shutting it off. Say, you know, if this is not going to help the person, I really don't need to hear it. Proverbs 18:8. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. In other words, we like to hear these things. Oh, and then what happened? Because it's making us feel like, whoa, I had never done anything that crazy. I'm pretty sharp. And it makes the other person look bad while you look like a superstar. I remember years ago working in the steel industry that I had a friend who would always say, I like working with that guy. Not me. He's pointing to a guy that was like Gomer Pyle of the steel industry. Because he always makes me look like a superstar. And yeah, we can get you killed too. So this is kind of the strategy behind gossiping. It makes others look small. It makes the one telling it feel powerful, that they've got some inside information. What is the solution that the scripture gives for this? Very clearly, Proverbs 26:20. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out, no fuel. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. You ditch them. That's how you get rid of the gossiping. And they whisper in secret. And a couple other things I want to say about that before we move on, because we've got some other sections that really merit some conversation. If you are gossiping about someone, it is very likely you're not praying for them. And if you're praying for someone, it is very likely you're not gossiping about them. You want to whisper? Whisper to God. Tell God about what's going on. Let me put it this way. If I'm gossiping about somebody and someone else is listening to it, they're going to gossip about me, and I'm, all right, well, you understand how entangled that becomes. Let's move forward. Time will not permit to keep going. Backbiters. This would be the news media primarily. Wait till you hear why. Not simply because they stab you in the back and go their way. These bite you. I'm going to play with the words a little bit to make my point. They want to taste the blood. They want to feed off their victims. It's not enough to ruin them, to hurt them. They want to make themselves stronger. They're bloodthirsty. We know one of the conservative talk radio hosts refers to the news media as the drive-bys, because they drive by a house, they spray it with their bullets, and then they move on down the block and they get another victim, and they don't care about the damage they cause. And there are many people who are this way. Now here's another one, verse 30, haters of God. Well, Romans 8 chapter verse 7 reads this way, because the carnal mind is hostile against God, or at war with God, enmity is the word, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. And so they hate God because they are at war with him. Continuing in verse 30, violent, no care for the pain caused to others, even brutal, proud, puffing themselves up, so again, the others can be small, boasters, unlike Jesus, who is meek and lowly, inventors of evil things. OEM, original equipment manufacturer, in this case, the manufacturer of evil, the original manufacturer of evil. And they are in places all over the world, in laboratories, in Senate, in the House of Representatives. They're in school systems. They're in kitchens. They're in living rooms. They're sharing the interstate and the roads with you. They are everywhere. Let's cross-reference that one. Proverbs chapter 4. Kind of paints a nice picture for us. Verse 16, for they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. It's powerful how the Proverbs is. You don't need psychology. You go to the book of Proverbs, and you'll find a character study on somebody. You will find a solution there in the presence of God from his word. Verse 30, continuing on, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. How'd that happen? It actually means not able to be persuaded by parents. There's something, again, to be mindful of. Verse 31, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Each one, beginning with the Greek letter alpha, meaning a negative in the Greek language, And so it is accurately translated with the prefix un, undiscerning, untrustworthy, etc.
You've been listening to Cross Reference Radio, the daily radio ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel in Mechanicsville, Virginia. As we mentioned at the beginning of today's broadcast, today's teaching is available free of charge at our website. Simply log on to www.crossreferenceradio.com. That's crossreferenceradio.com. We'd also like to encourage you to subscribe to the Cross Reference Radio podcast. Subscribing ensures that you stay current with all the latest teachings from Pastor Rick. You can subscribe at crossreferenceradio.com or simply search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes. Tune in next time as Pastor Rick continues teaching through the book of Romans here on Cross Reference Radio.